All right, let's turn in our Bibles to Isaiah 61, starting with verse 1. We'll read just 1.5 verses here, and then got a couple comments. This is about the acceptable year of the Lord, and remember that the acceptable year of the Lord was Scripture, is Scripture. Verse 1 of Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach," here's what Jesus was to preach, "good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And then, if you recall in Acts, in Luke 4, Jesus stopped there and said, "This is what being fulfilled in your ears." But the verse goes on, Isaiah 61:2, it starts, "to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God to all, to comfort all that mourn." So it's a change of tone there. After the Lord's earthly ministry was prophesied here, what comes after that would have been the day of vengeance of our God. Well, it didn't come, and he didn't say it was coming. He said his ministry at that time was through the acceptable year of the Lord. So it was not just an invented accommodation to make the events of the time for Israel fit together. And we can see from Mark 16, verse 20, from those signs that were there, I don't think I put that in the verse list, but if you could pull that up, Mark 16:20. Thank you, Nathaniel. The last part of Christ's earthly ministry, the acceptable year of the Lord, was after his resurrection and his ascension back to heaven. Then, you know, Jesus Christ gave his disciples a parable, but let's read the verse before we get to that parable. And they went forth and preached everywhere. This is after the ascension of Jesus Christ back to heaven. And it's talking about the believing apostles. It says they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. So the Lord did signs from heaven. You can read about those signs in early Acts, but he did signs to confirm what he had preached and what they were doing, and that was part of what, you know, what was that year that followed his ascension. So the Lord gave a parable, and in that parable it helps us to see the acceptable year of the Lord that was coming. It had to do with Israel and had nothing to do with the body of Christ, but it had to do with Israel. So we study Israel to find out Israel's program and to differentiate that from our program so that we don't end up believing Israel's gospel instead of our gospel, which is only in Romans through Philemon. It was delivered by Jesus Christ to Paul to write to us in Romans to Philemon after Christ had gone back to heaven. It's not in the earlier writings, the gospel that's for us. So, Luke 13, verses 6 through 9 is where the parable is. "And he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, but found none." Well, let's find out about the fig tree, first of all. Judges 9, 8. And we'll go through a few verses here down to about 15. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, "Reign thou over us." But the olive tree said unto them, "Should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees?" And so the trees said to the fig tree, so this is what we're talking about here, the fig tree, "Come thou and reign over us." But the fig tree said unto them, "Should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees?" Then said the trees unto the vine, Come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, Should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble, Come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, If in truth you anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. So in Israel's scriptures, Israel is pictured as an olive tree, also as a fig tree, as a vine, and also as a bramble. But the point is that the fig tree represents Israel. So let's continue with that parable of the fig tree. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard. Talking about the dresser. All right, let me start over. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? So, remember that in the Eastern culture of Israel, they thought in different terms. They counted in different terms. It was sort of like the difference between logic and Boolean logic. Israel counted time by their Passover feasts. So the dresser of the vineyard could have restated it, his comment, this way. He could have said, Behold, these three Passovers I come seeking fruit on this tree. And I hope it gives a closer sense to the meaning there, but I'm not correcting the Bible. The Bible is correct, and it's why I'm just trying to help you think of it like the Bible says it. It has nothing to do with the translation. The translation is good. The vine dresser said, These 3 years, and it's translated correctly in the King James, but in his Eastern thinking, that could well have been like counting the Passovers. That could have meant that, these three Passovers. And by the way, John records three Passovers during his book there, John 2:23, John 6:4, and John 13:1. So there were those three Passovers that went by during Jesus Christ's earthly ministry. But back to the parable here in Luke 13:7, Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Well, what about this fig tree here in these verses? The Lord said, let it alone this year also. That is the acceptable year of the Lord. That the Lord said would be the last part of his earthly ministry when he quoted Isaiah 61 verses 1 and the first part of 2. It was an additional year beyond the 3 years in which he came seeking fruit in Israel, the fig tree, preaching the kingdom was at hand. It was at hand. It didn't come, but Jesus had warned them, or not warned necessarily, prophesied, advised them that the kingdom was at hand, preached the gospel to. That was part of the gospel of the kingdom. It's not our gospel, but it was the gospel of the kingdom, that the kingdom is at hand. What kingdom? The kingdom that was promised in Exodus. They'd been looking for it for centuries, for the Lord, the Messiah, to come and bring the kingdom. So, the verses about good tidings unto the meek in Isaiah 61 verse 1, opening the prison to them that are bound up in devil possession at the time of Christ when he came, and he found no fruit. They didn't respond to the Lord's, not positively, to the Lord's message. But in that year that followed the Lord's return to heaven, they had the last part of their opportunity to make right the choice, to choose to follow what Christ had said, to accept him, receive him as their Messiah, and receive the kingdom, you know, repenting of their rejecting him in the past, turning their thoughts around, and believing that he was the Messiah, risen from the dead. And if you remember, Jesus had prophesied that additional year when he himself, in person, there in the synagogues in Israel, he said in Luke 4, verse 18 of Luke 4, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Verse 19, "To preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And verse 20, "He closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him." Verse 21, "And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Well, during that acceptable year of the Lord, they could still receive. They could have received what the Lord had preached to them. Look at Acts 2:38. Here Peter addresses Israel in the temple at the Jewish feast day, and Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." In other words, their sins would be remitted. He says remission of sins. They would be remitted or postponed. The penalty for those sins would be put off until a future time when they will be handled later. Peter told them a chapter later when that time would be, when their sins would be blotted out. And we'll look at that verse in a minute. But going on with Acts 2:38, "In the name of Jesus Christ," he said, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." But did you notice what Peter said in that verse? "Repent and be baptized every one of you." All of Israel had to believe, including the leadership, the high priest, the council, the scribes, the elders. They all had to believe for Christ to come back and blot out their sins at his return. So they had to believe on the identity of Jesus being their risen Messiah, especially the leadership of Israel, those Pharisees, the council, chief priests, high priest himself, but they did not believe. They all had to believe for the Lord to return as king. How can we know that? Look in the next chapter. Let's look at Acts 3, verses 18 to 20. "But those things which God before hath showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled." So that shows that Jesus was the Christ, calls him the Christ, that he, it was prophesied in the Old Testament scriptures that those things that were prophesied, he did. He was prophesied to do. He fulfilled those prophecies, in other words. As miraculous as it would seem, if you don't believe that Jesus is God and that he was the Messiah and that he would rise from the dead, he fulfilled all those prophecies. And what are the odds that that would happen if he wasn't the Messiah? So they should have recognized him. It was all written beforehand in prophecy. Didn't they study? They were to study the prophets. The prophets were God's speakers to man. How impudent to ignore God when he speaks to you. Let us never be guilty of that same situation. Study, believe, preach. Peter goes on in the next verse, and he says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you." Now that was a specific message by Peter to those Jews that had just rejected Jesus, and some of them believed and some didn't, but that's not an ongoing message. The time for that has passed. It's no longer being offered. He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. So if they had all repented and changed their minds from crucifying their Messiah to, "I know now that Jesus is the Messiah, and I agree that I was wrong in crucifying him," that's repenting, that they were told to do. And they were to be converted to what Peter was preaching as Israel's doctrine. Then, Peter goes on with the verse, in verse 20, he says, "Then your sins may be blotted out." And he tells them when. "When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ." The return of Jesus Christ to the earth is awaiting all Israel's repentance. When they repent, the times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus. So the verse says that Israel's sins will be, it says when they may be blotted out, at the time of Jesus Christ's return to earth. And that's quite unlike the teaching of Paul for the body of Christ. You and me, we're told in Ephesians, Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We have, in other words, carried over from the first clause there, we have the forgiveness of sins. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And you can tell, his grace is a lot different than our ability to earn it, isn't it? It doesn't say according to how good you are. It says we have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Be thankful for that grace of God that we have still today. But as it is, Israel is still awaiting their sins to be blotted out. Israelites have not been saved. The Bible does not say that they were saved. It says the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. Their salvation is always spoken of as in the future. And you can see that in the words of Peter to Israel in 1 Peter chapter 1. We're not going to read these, but let me list them if you want to know. 1 Peter 1, 5. These are all in the first chapter, but verse 5, 7, 9, 10, 11, and 13. What is that? Six different times in that one chapter. They're told that their sins will be blotted out when the Lord returns. In one form or another, it says when their salvation is for the last times, different things like that. But remember, in Galatians 2:9, Peter pledged to go to, including to preach to and to write to, the circumcision. And that's only to Israel, not to us. So Peter writes here in 1 Peter 1, those same verses I listed, he says, what he says there, it's not directed to us that they have to wait until the end times for their salvation to be revealed, for Christ to come from heaven and to blot out their sins, and for the fountain to be opened, and all those things. It's not our instructions. It does not apply to us. It would be like reading a tractor manual and trying to find out how to fly an airplane from it. We have the airplane. We in the body of Christ being seated in the heavenlies. Israel has a tractor being promised the land. Let Israel read their instructions from God through the circumcision apostles, Peter, James, John, Matthew. And, let them. We need to go and apply our instructions from God, which were only revealed and inspired by Jesus Christ to Paul, Christ's only apostle of the Gentiles. Paul is the only one that wrote about our instructions from Christ in his 13 epistles of Romans through Philemon. And that's called rightly dividing, separating what God separated. Let's read 1 Peter 1, 5 and 7, verses 5 and 7 in 1 Peter. We'll find out what Peter said to Israel, and when will Israel's blotting out of their sins and their salvation be? Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's what I was talking about. In the last time. You can see it there. Israel's salvation will only be revealed in the last time. Hold on a minute. Okay, what happened? How long was I out? Ephesians 1:7. 4 minutes. Okay, well, let's go back. I want to repeat these important things. I didn't realize I was gone. Let's see. Okay, Ephesians 1, verse 7. And I had covered about Galatians 2:9 that Peter pledged to go to the circumcision, and that includes preaching to them and writing to them. And that's only to Israel, the circumcision. That's not to us. So Peter writes those verses there in 1 Peter 1, verses 5, 7, 9, 10, 11, and 13, all that those instructions are not directed to us. They're not our instructions. It doesn't apply to us. So, I had mentioned that an analogy. It's like trying to read a tractor manual and trying to figure out how to fly an airplane from a tractor manual. You can't do it. So we have the airplane being seated in heavenly places. Israel has the tractor being promised the land. So let Israel read their instructions from God through the circumcision apostles. And what was written by Matthew, John, James, Peter, Jude, let them read their apostles to get their instructions. We need to apply our instructions from God, which were only revealed by Jesus Christ to Paul. Christ inspired Paul to write those 13 epistles. Paul was Christ's only apostle of the Gentiles. Paul's the only one that wrote about our instructions from Christ, how to get to God, how to come to God, how to approach God. What is the way God is saving people today? It's in his 13 epistles, Paul's, from Romans through Philemon. And we call that rightly dividing. But let's read what Peter said to Israel, and when will be Israel's blotting out of their sins. 1 Peter, we're going to look at those verses now. 1 Peter 1, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. When is that salvation to be revealed? You can see it there, that Israel's salvation will only be revealed in the last time. Look at 1 Peter 1, 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Let me leave that middle section out so you can get the impact of it. That the trial of your faith might be found unto the praise and glory of praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's when it occurs. At the appearing of the time at which Israel will have endured to the end will be at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Okay, 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. For Israel, their salvation is the outcome of their continued faith. And that's unlike us, to whom Paul says, you are saved. Meaning upon belief, you're saved. You know, by the time... There's such a difference. I mean, Israel has to wait. They have to continue enduring to the end. They have to work. They have to overcome, it says many times in Revelation. Israel has to overcome. They have to endure before they get saved. Their salvation appears at the end time. But for us, Paul tells us that you are saved upon belief. And we'll get into that verse later. That's Ephesians 2:5. Ephesians 2, 9, 8 and 9, Romans 5:11, many places we're told that we're saved upon belief. We've already received the atonement. 1 Peter 1:10, going back to Peter, talking to Israel again in his epistles, he says, of which salvation the prophets inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. So here in 1 Peter 1:10, you can see it again, that the grace of God should come unto them. It's a future thing. It has not already appeared unto them as it has unto us. So 1 Peter 1:11, and we're getting close to the end. When we get through these verses, we'll close this lesson for today and go on to some other things. But 1 Peter 1:11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did testify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. For Israel, their glory follows their enduring until the return of Christ to the earth. And here's one other verse, one last verse from Peter. Last one we're going to consider today. It was to Israel about the same thing. Verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God is gracious in offering them salvation. At different times, God offered salvation by different means, by different gospels. Israel had a gospel of the kingdom to be believed, but they rejected their king and their kingdom. And there's obviously more. We're ending kind of in the middle here, but we'll stop for now and get back to this